Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Oh, hi, I didn't see you there. Before we start the show, let's talk about our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. The Bob Seska Show is almost entirely fueled by our Patreon subscribers, and we couldn't do 4+ shows a week without your generous financial support. If you dig what you hear today, please consider signing up for just $1 per month or $5 per month on our Patreon page. Depending on your pledge, you're going to get all kinds of bonus content from me and my troop of co-hosts. Plus, it's actually the best place to contact me in person as we continue to post exclusive Patreon-only content like our postmortem shows twice per week, as well as the Friday After Party podcast and commercial-free versions of this show. So get going. FOMO is real. Again, that's bobseskashow.com or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at bobseska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by bubblegenius.com.
Is that yours?
Don't touch it. It's Uncle Rico's.
What's it for?
It's a time machine, Napoleon. You bought it online.
You're right.
It works, Napoleon. You don't even know.
Have you guys tried it yet?
No. So are you ready?
Yeah, hold on. I forgot to put in the crystals. Okay, turn it on. It's a piece of crap. It doesn't work.
Well, I could have told you that.
Bob Seska.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
The Bob Seska Show.
See, the new Q thing is they're talking about the, I think it's the vaccine is helping you time travel. I've tried it. I've been fully vaccinated. I haven't been able to time travel yet. Maybe I get Napoleon Dynamite to help me out. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, June 8, 2021. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how you doing? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 140 of the Biden-Harris administration. 517 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And let's bring him in. Here he goes.
You say Buzz.
Buzz.
You've said it all.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. I've missed you. It's been a long week.
I know, I'm too.
Glad we're back together
again and
with our friends out there as well.
Yes, indeed.
If you're new here or you need a refresher, he's Bob Lilibet Seska, and I'm Buzz Lilibet Burbank. And and this show is the Swiss Army knife of podcasting.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
Shit,
didn't know.
That asshole. Yeah. God damn it.
I've been following this. I've been reading about various stories in the newspaper. They're calling this the summer of love, Bob.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. You see, with everything opening up again, people have apparently gone crazy trying to get laid. But here's the irony. During the lockdown, we all forgot how to dress ourselves.
I know. So did I.
Yeah. So people are asking you, which sweatpants do you wear on a first date? In the news, Postmaster Louis DeJoy is under investigation for allegedly making illegal campaign donations.
Mm-hmm.
And the FBI plans to lock him up as soon as the mailman delivers the warrant. Should be here anytime.
Oh, my God.
This was interesting. The University of Virginia's law school, the law school there, is offering a course on the Trump-Russia investigation.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and the, you could go. And then the course, Bob, is taught by Robert Mueller himself.
Jesus.
Well, Mueller does the teaching. The final exams will be graded by Bill Barr.
Of course.
Adjust your answers accordingly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In science news, the Pentagon says there's no proof that they are aliens.
Okay, right.
We're talking, of course, about all the sightings of Trump voters. Still, it's an open question.
Right.
The psychologist who invented timeouts for children passed away this week at the age of 97.
Aww.
He can now take some time to think about what he's done.
The Bob Seska Show.
Rocky Mountain Mike. Yeah, here we go. Welcome to the show.
Before your speech is through, we've got a crazy view. It's the backside of your pants we see. I don't want to sound like I'm off base, but it seems your trousers are misplaced. There are lots of things we all would rather do. It's the backside of your pants we view. Now that Joe Biden, he took your place, we don't even want to see your face. But it looks just like your face, that much is true. It's the backside of your pants we view. It's your pants we view. With everything backwards, before this night is through, I think I'll throw up too. It's the backside of your pants we view.
Oh yeah, Rocky Mountain Mike. Rocky underscore Mountain underscore Mike on Instagram. Go follow him recklessly right now.
Maybe the Republicans would back a commission to investigate the backward pants.
You know, any news cycle that includes pants is okay with me. Yeah.
Well, it's a shame in some ways because Snopes says it's a fake.
Right, right.
That it didn't really happen. And I think that's kind of a black eye for us, you know, because it just opens up another opportunity for critics to say that we're willing to, you know, lie to make a point when there are so many other things we could be getting Trump for. Oh, it was funny. Yeah. Oh, I laughed.
Sure. Yeah.
And that certainly has its place. Mm. But the fact that it was taken so seriously and went so viral, so strongly, so fast is a little embarrassing in hindsight. Get it?
Yeah. See, here's the thing. I knew almost right away that it wasn't that he was wearing his pants backwards. I mean, he's befuddled. He's a fucking a-hole, but he's not that stupid that he's putting his pants on backwards. But you know what? I'm okay with people thinking he was putting his pants on backwards. That's fine with me. I'm totally okay with that. And again, as I said, look, if we can talk about pants for a while. And by the way, I'm so glad people are finally noticing how fucked up his pants actually are. I mean, Donald Trump has the
it's
most
about time.
I know. For 5 years I was going, when are people going to start talking about his fucked up pants?
Even if that's his backside, and how do they do that with moving video anyway? But even if that is his backside, that's a diaper.
Yeah,
there's padding back there, and not like he doesn't have any of his own. There's additional padding back there that to me can only be a diaper. I believe those are his pants. I believe that's a shot from the back that's somehow magically pasted onto a shot from the front.
Well, I think what happened was the initial image was kind of compressed. It was like someone taking a photograph of their TV screen, and then it was compressed a little bit on social media. And what it did is it kind of erased the fly. And once again, I'm like gagging a little bit because here we are talking about Donald Trump's crotch area. Yeah, by all means, what we need in this world that is so fucked up is a 3-day conversation about Donald Trump's crotch.
What is it? What is it about flies? First, there was the one on Pence's head, and then there was the one that did crawl around on Ted Cruz's face, even if he didn't really swallow it.
Right.
And then there was the missing fly from Donald Trump's pants. So it's all about flies, apparently.
No. But I don't know what he does to those pants. Maybe he needs to do the LBJ thing. You know, LBJ used to have this habit where when he'd sit down. You know what? In fact, I think they did a whole Seinfeld episode about this, where when LBJ would go to sit down, he'd take his pants off so they wouldn't get all schmutzy and wrinkled.
Well, that's the excuse he gave.
Yeah, it was just a line, right? It was some other reason. Probably because the pants, as we heard on that famous audio recording, the pants for LBJ were always cutting into his bunghole. Like, he was really,
right.
really concerned about the pants cutting into his bunghole.
That's the version I prefer to believe.
But I don't know. Trump's got some fucked up pants there. They're just...
Well, yeah, and he used to have Hope Hicks, you know, would get down on her knees in front of him and steam them while he was wearing them. You know, to steam the wrinkles out of him. He doesn't have that service anymore.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, Trump did this whole pants thing during his remarks at the North Carolina GOP convention, where...
In which he did slur.
He did slur a lot. I mean, more than usual, right? These were full-blown, what are they called? Short circuits. I think Aaron Rupar refers to them as short circuits, where he goes to say a word, he fucks up the word, he does this weird body twitch, like when the word, the wrong word comes out or some non-word comes out of his mouth, his whole body twitches, and then he kind of retcons it as if to say, I meant to say that weird non-word.
Right.
At one point he said, he was remarking about shredding the ground bacon, and I'm not sure exactly what the hell that meant. No, but
neither is he.
And you know, here's my thing. They've spent the last, I don't know how many months, probably years, on Joe Biden, referring to Joe Biden on Fox News Channel as President Sippy Cup. As if he's somehow infirm. That was a gigantic mistake on their part. I think it's a huge miscalculation for them to have gone after Joe Biden.
If you look at his approval numbers, it is clearly a mistake. You know, it's one thing, and an amazing thing indeed, to see Republican politicians ignore the will of their own constituents to pursue power. It's quite another to see a commercial television channel that relies somewhat on its viewers to alienate them by picking on their Joe Biden, because when Fox does that, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
60 and 70% of the American people approve of Joe Biden on some level or another, and we're talking about Republicans here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And on top of that, the fact that they're making a big deal about Joe Biden's alleged cognitive issues, what they're doing is they're calling attention to Trump's cognitive issues. They're putting that on the table as a point of debate. And so all it does is exposes Donald Trump to more scrutiny. And there's lots of things to scrutinize him about. I mean, first of all, we've got this thing that happened over the weekend, this speech in North Carolina, where it was like one short circuit after another. But now Roger Stone is going after Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon's going after Roger Stone, which is a little bit performative as far as I'm concerned. It's a little bit of, well, let's keep each other in the news. But at the same time, they're talking about how, and reemphasizing in the process, about how Steve Bannon accused Trump of being, or having Alzheimer's, I think it was. And so that's keeping that fresh in the news.
Yeah,
so,
and that's good. And here's why that's good. Here's why that's good, because we see the continuing influence of Donald Trump over Republican politics. And when I say influence, I mean total and absolute control.
Yeah.
We see him using and exercising effectively that power. But at the same time, we see diminishing mental and physical health. Mm-hmm. And we see court cases closing in around him, most of which he cannot dodge.
Yeah.
And so the question is where he's going to be in 2024. Will he be on the campaign trail prior to that, or will he be tied up in court? It's looking to me increasingly like he'll be tied up in court. This doesn't mean he's any less a threat to democracy, but I don't think we have to worry about him personally. I would worry more about guys like DeSantis and the other slicky boys coming up to try to be the next Donald Trump.
I don't know. I wish I were that optimistic. I think...
If that's optimism, we're screwed.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking the only way Trump doesn't run is if Trump chooses not to run. I think it would be very daring of this current Republican Party, the current Republican Party that's bending over backwards to, shall we say, steam the pants of Trump's voters.
Right, right.
You know, they're in the process of doing that quite vigorously, and I can't see them suddenly about facing and saying, never mind, we're going to go with Ted Cruz or whoever. I don't see that happening necessarily. Trump would have to be immensely indisposed for him to not run, and whether that's some sort of health issue or whether that's federal prison or, as the case may be, New York State prison. There's still a strong chance he ends up at Dannemora. I'm not making that up. That could possibly be a thing. And of course, as I vow, I'm going to sit outside the fence on a lawn chair and fix myself a nice beverage and just point and laugh at Donald Trump. That'll become my new podcast.
Well, if it makes you happy, that'll be fine. We'll call it prison setting.
Yeah, there you go.
But you know, I think with his declining health and his diminishing influence in the public, his diminished voice in the public, and I think that with him being tied up in court, that he personally will not be available for, you know, whether he makes that decision or it's made for him. I don't think he'll be around. Like I said, does not make him any less of a threat. Does not mean he isn't still a kingmaker who could anoint, say, Ron DeSantis as the guy and campaign for Ron DeSantis to an extent, perhaps. I don't know. But I also think that Trump support among Trump supporters is still slipping. It's terrifying how high it is, but I do see signs of erosion, and that gives me hope too. The more crap that happens to him, I think the more it will erode. We're still 24 is still 3 years away, and so in terms of a presidential race, and I'm more focused on 2022 right now, but in terms of the next presidential race, I think Trump will be a factor. I don't know that he'll be a candidate.
Well, and I think Mike Pence is going to be a factor, too. I think Mike Pence comes into all of this possibly tied with Don Jr. And again, we're getting way ahead of ourselves for 24. Lots of things can happen between now and the initial primaries, or at least the initial time when they start throwing their hats into their rings, which I guess would be around 2023. Lots can happen between now and then. But right now, as it stands, Mike Pence, I guess, would be the next nearest heir apparent. And he's already showing the fact that his spine vanished. I don't think there ever was a spine in there. They were chanting, hang Mike Pence. They were going to hang him from a goddamn gibbet on January 6th. And these are Trump's people ordered by Trump to the Capitol building to carry out these plans. And Mike Pence says to a crowd the other day that, me and Trump, we don't see eye to eye on January 6th. As if it was some sort of ordinary policy dispute.
They simply agreed to disagree, Bob. You know, it's I guess he too sees them as tourists.
But I mean, is anyone more spineless than Mike Pence?
No.
Jesus. I can't get over the fact that he's now downplaying the fact that Trump's own supporters were trying to kill him. You know what? He is the most blindly ambitious politician, I think, on the Republican side. If he is willing to just ignore the fact, to just waive the notion that Donald Trump basically wanted to have him killed, he will do and say anything he needs to do and say in order to win his next election. And that's a fact. And
Pence is basically saying, I could be killed, but I'm not going to let that stop me from running for president.
That's exactly right. Well, you know what's been making a comeback recently is, in fact, we played this when it first came out. The Daily Show some time ago put together a clip package of Mike Pence, and specifically the way Mike Pence speaks in rhythm. You'd never guess it by looking at how mayonnaise white Mike Pence is, that he was so rhythmic. Here's the Daily Show's little bit about Mike Pence speaking in rhythm all the time.
The Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence.
When America is strong, the world is safe.
America has remained the best in space.
Relentless pursuit of victory will guide us to return to the moon, put Americans on Mars.
Welcome to Made in America Week.
We'll rise to that challenge. We will stand with our allies, restoring
democracy and ending the crisis.
Welcome to a new era for American infrastructure.
The great respect of the president.
So true.
Whole, free, and at peace.
So true.
Unlawfully and
say it again, what?
This will end.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Wow. That's weird. Isn't that weird?
It's weird. It strikes me that his speech is as mechanical as the drums that were behind him. You know, they're both machines.
That's the thing that Mike Pence has in common with Ted Cruz. They both have this really politician-y way of speaking. It's almost like they went to way too many media training seminars, and they followed every goddamn rule. Mike Pence speaking in rhythm, that's not cut together to make it sound like it's going to the beat. Right. Mike Pence is like the king of saying things like this. At the end of making a declarative statement, he'll say something like, I know it, you know it, the American people know it. I mean, that's what he does. It's like all of those cliche things. Those fat cats in Washington will learn from, you know, it's just like all of the usual off the shelf politician things.
Maybe he's a big fan of haiku.
Maybe so. Well, let's see what else is going on here. So what do you make of this Cyber Ninjas founder moving all of those Maricopa County ballots to his home in Montana? I have some theories about this, but I'm curious as to your take on what the hell's going on in Arizona.
Well, clearly they've lost control. As we may have mentioned before, Arizona and taxpayers now have to spend millions of dollars to replace all of the equipment that has, thanks to the Republican legislature, they're allowed to fall into unprofessional and biased hands. That equipment is now tainted and can never be used again, can only be replaced. Similar things happening in counties in Pennsylvania, where we're finding out this all really started. It's criminal, it seems to me. I don't understand why more secretaries of state and attorneys general haven't cracked down on this, save for the fact they're Republicans in many cases.
Yeah, I wish there were more Democratic lawyers on the ground in Maricopa County to block whatever is possible to block at this point with this process. Because initially, it started out as kind of a punchline, kind of self-satire among the Red Hat Republicans that they were going to engage in this ballot audit where they were, I guess, going to exhaustively go through every single ballot. And we all know what the point is. They don't need to find any voter fraud in order to say, well, you know, there was this one ballot and it kind of smelled like bamboo. Oh, my God, bamboo, which means China and holy shit. All they need to do is find the patina of impropriety, some sort of little teeny nugget of something. Oh, this signature didn't quite match. Rampant voter fraud in Arizona, obviously.
Is that duck sauce on the envelope? Is that good to me? Chinese interference?
Right. But, I mean, that's all they need to do. That's all they need to come up with. And initially that was the case. But now as this process moves on and on and on, there's some hinky things happening in Arizona. Yeah. And this latest move where this founder of Cyber Ninjas nabbed all of these ballots and they've moved them to the guy's home in Montana for some reason. And first, I think my first reaction was, oh, this looks like data mining to me. This looks like what they're doing is they're not just auditing the ballots. They're starting to collect information that's on the ballots for purpose XYZ. I have no idea.
That's possible. That's possible. But they have raped the sanctity of the vote.
Yeah, exactly right.
And they have from the very beginning of this fraud authorized by Republican lawmakers in Arizona. This would be a good place to remind people the importance of voting down ballot and participating as never before in the 2022 election.
Yeah.
Campaign, sign up, give money. We need all boots on the ground for this battle. We've said many times, and I'm going to repeat this many times too going forward, we've often said this next election is the most important in our history.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this about 2022. This one's for all the marbles.
Yeah.
This could be, in many ways, the last election and the end of democracy as we have known it in our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how serious this is, and that's why we need all hands on deck.
And it's not only from the point of view of stemming the tide of Trumpism, which is a big fucking deal. We're talking about fascist idiocracy on the march here in the United States, and quite frankly, around the globe. We're seeing it in other countries as well. But it's not only about thwarting Trumpism, but it's also about expanding what we can do as Democrats in Congress.
It's tenuous in both houses, so in the Senate.
And more so in the Senate. And that's the key.
Absolutely.
The key, because it's not only about expanding our majorities in order to get things done. It's about expanding our majorities to strip power away from people like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, because they're acting the way they're acting because there is such a close divide. But the 50-50 Senate is what's giving Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema the power. And they're certainly abusing their power. They're certainly milking it for all it's worth while they have the opportunity, not only for recognition, but to bring money home to their states so they can go home and they can tell Republicans and they can tell Democrats alike, look at what I've done and please reelect me when the time comes. And so that's the dual role of what we need to do as far as focusing our energy on 22 is about greatly expanding those majorities, plus at the same time stopping Trumpism. And these are all things that we have to kind of balance and work toward. And one of the reasons why I'm always mentioning at the top of the show the number of days until the 22 midterms is because the 22 midterms are so important. 517 days to go. Yeah, it seems like a long ways. Oh, it's never going to be November 22. It's never going to be that month or that election day. Well, you know what? It takes a long time. It's like the Democratic Party is like a really big diesel engine. Takes us a long time to get up to speed. It pushed down on the gas and get up to speed up a steep hill, and eventually we're going to get moving, but it takes us a good long time to build up that energy. And that's why we're already working on it now. We're not trying to get ahead of ourselves or scare anyone. We're just saying, look, now's the time to start ramping up. Now's the time to start paying attention, focusing, and building that momentum.
Find out who's running at all levels, school board on up. Because that's how Republicans have wrested control of this nation away from common sense, is by securing power at every level. And we have to be just as serious about that. We need to step up our messaging, as I said last week. We need to, which, by the way, the New York Times picked up on the other day. I'd like to think we were a bit ahead of the curve on that. It's time for these things. It's astounding to so many of us that in the case of Joe Manchin, 76% of the Republicans in his state, in West Virginia, support the For the People Act.
Yeah.
So he's clearly not representing his constituents. Not all of the pressure that can be brought to bear on Joe Manchin has been so far. Biden can do more. There are indications he will. I'm not optimistic about Manchin changing his stand, especially after that op-ed the other day.
Yeah.
But I'm not ruling it out either. And I think Kyrsten Sinema is vulnerable to change. I don't think she's as locked in as Manchin. Now, I understand there are other Democrats who have reservations about some of the changes, but we need to find out from them specifically what parts of this they don't like.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things about Manchin, is he hasn't said what parts of this he likes or doesn't like. He just doesn't like it because no Republicans do. But he's pretty sure they're out there. And as OJ continues to hunt for his wife's killer, Manchin will continue to look for 6 to 10 reasonable Democrats to pass the For the People Act.
Yeah, yeah. Well, short of Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema having some sort of epiphany about what their posture is these days, it's really up to us. It's up to all of us and the 22 midterms, because we can strip that power away from them just as easily as they're wielding it. Yeah.
By adding more Democratic seats to both houses of Congress.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And we have the map. It's another favorable map for Democrats in 22.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope this is the time that the Democrats buck history. As you know, whatever party's in the White House tends to lose seats in the midterm election. There's plenty of reason to believe that's not going to happen this time. It's historically true, but it's not locked. It's not written in stone that it will be that way. And it's very important that we make sure that it isn't. And because of the hurdles, and we talk about this before every election, You know, we have all the usual hurdles of gerrymandering, of voter suppression. But now we have these laws, these Republican laws in so many states to further restrict voting the challenges, the hurdles have gotten higher than they've ever been. So we have to jump higher than we ever have in order to clear them. This is not going to be as easy as it looks.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned those polls. There was a, in fact, Rachel Maddow was talking about this. This is Global Strategy Group and ALG Research. Did this poll in West Virginia. And there's something that's eerily familiar about the results of this poll. And I'll get to that in just a second. But West Virginia's opinions on Biden's various proposals, for example, the American Rescue Plan, which has already been passed, 64% of West Virginians support the American Rescue Plan. Only 31% oppose. The American Jobs Plan, 68% support, 29% oppose. The For the People Act, this is the one that's being so hotly disputed right now, with Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema being holdouts about this, frustratingly so. This is the bill that will thwart a lot of these state-level laws that are being passed. 79% support in West Virginia, only 15% oppose. That's a huge fucking deal. And Joe Manchin's going against that tide.
As I said, 76% of Republicans support the For the People Act.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's not that far away from the 81% of Democrats or the 79% of independents. In other words, everybody wants this. And Joe does. I obviously we have to do our part, and we have to get up off the couches and out of our houses and get active and get loud and work on that messaging. But I can't help but think that Manchin's going to have to fold at some point because of various pressures on him, including the will of his own constituents.
Here's the thing. He's looking at these numbers, and he has to be looking at the numbers. He's looking at these numbers the same way, though, that Mitch McConnell looks at these numbers. And remember, we've had many, many occasions in the past where the poll numbers look like this. Lopsided, super majorities in support of legislation after piece of legislation. I go back to the speaking of Joe Manchin, the Manchin-Toomey Amendment from 2013, which was right after Sandy Hook, where they wanted to expand background checks. It was supported by something like 81% of NRA supporters and like 75% of Republicans, and yet Mitch McConnell and the Republicans filibustered that legislation. In defiance of the poll numbers, they filibustered it. And there are many, many examples like that. And this is another one. 76% support among Republicans for the People Act. And yet they're going, no effing way. We're not supporting this.
That's been the Republican MO for some time now. Yeah, and that is ignore what the people want and do whatever will help us seize and maintain power. And it's just weird to see Joe Manchin possibly following that same model. It's weird to see the Democratic agenda after all of this.
Yeah.
The American people elected a majority in the House of Democrats and a slim majority in the Senate of Republicans by way of the presidency. And yet we're stuck in this situation where, as you said, it all depends on Joe Manchin at this point. More so than I mean, Kyrsten Sinema is certainly complicit, but if we get Manchin back, I think Sinema will go along.
Yeah.
And I think the other supposed 10 congressional Democrats who have concerns about the For the People Act, I think they'll come along as well. But we have to continue to do our work, and we can't count on Joe Manchin coming around, but there is a chance that could happen. I think what congressional Democrats need to do in the meantime is put Republican feet to the fire on each and every one of these things, make them filibuster every damn good idea that the American people support.
And look, I mean, I understand Mitch McConnell thinking in terms of national numbers. Mitch McConnell is the leader of the Republicans on the Senate side, and he's concerned about not pissing off not just voters from Kentucky, but also voters from Texas and all these, you know, all these red state strongholds as well. And even West Virginia. I mean, he's concerned about the national view of what the Senate Republicans are doing. That's Mitch McConnell's job. But why Joe Manchin gives a shit about anything outside the boundaries of West Virginia is mind-boggling to me. It's completely baffling. I don't understand what his jiu-jitsu is here.
He just believes that any voting changes should be bipartisan. Otherwise, it's going to be considered partisan and used against us later. That's not... Now, is there, there are holes in his logic you can drive trains through, but, you know, that is his thinking. Now, I do think that in addition to the poll numbers that you and I agree he has to be seeing, and in addition to that, you have members of Congress. He did attend a session the other day in which Democrats listed one by one by one all of the Republican threats to democracy that have been legislated in recent months. To make a rather dramatic point for one person in the room, and that was Joe Manchin. And he heard from another, like I believe it was a Democratic, I don't remember now, I'm sorry, who a Democrat who is also in a largely Republican district who does support the For the People Act.
Yeah.
I think his words had an influence, had an effect on Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin's still talking a big game, and maybe it's because he likes the attention, but I see him weakening on this as well. Again, that's no excuse for us to let up on our efforts, but there's still a ray of hope, I think, on Manchin.
Well, the clock is ticking, because if this if the Texas election law gets reintroduced and comes up for a vote again, the Democrats might not be able to block it next time. And one of the things this Texas law does is it gives the power to the legislature to nullify the results of the election. To overturn the results of the election.
Same in Florida, same in Georgia.
Right. But only with the allegation of voter fraud. You don't need to actually have evidence of it. All you need to do is say, well, maybe over here, and then there was a ballot, and then they smelled like bamboo, and there was the other thing. And then they can go, oh, okay, well, we're not going to. And that's 40 fucking electoral votes on the table.
The purpose coming here out of Texas. The purpose here is not just to delegitimize the 2020 election. The purpose here is to delegitimize all elections going forward.
Right.
And this is how authoritarian governments take hold in country after country. There have been other democracies, not quite like ours, but other democracies have seen the same process take place. And we're seeing it now in this country.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is a lethal game of musical chairs that we're in right now, politically speaking. Because what happens is, we're all racing to be the last contestant to dive into that final chair, right? And if it's the Republicans, they're never going to fucking move. If it's the Republicans landing in that final chair of the musical chairs politics game, right?
The music will never start again if that happens.
Exactly right. They will never be able to be shaken loose out of that power position. And that's what we're talking about here. And the consequences will be broad reaching. I mean, we're going to talk about global consequences, not just national consequences.
And long term.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, on that happy note... let's take a short break.
Bob and I are the stable boys for the Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Exactly right. I'm going to go shovel some manure back after these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Well, if you ever catch yourself thinking when looking in the mirror, I wish my under-eye bags would just go away. You're not alone. Bags and puffiness under the eyes are a problem for millions of American men and women. Until now, introducing my new favorite, the new GenuCell Serum with plant stem cell technology from Chamonix. Susan from New Jersey wrote me, I've been using GenuCell for a couple months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared and haven't come back. I love this product. I use it under my eyes, around the cheekbones, and on my eyelids. With its instant effects, Chamonix says you'll see results in the first 12 hours or your money back. They guarantee guarantee it. Order now and save big on Genucel's risk-free introductory offer. Go to lovegenucel.com/Stephanie. That's G-E-N-U-C-E-L. For an instant 10% off your order, order now. You'll get the amazing Genucel XV face cream when you order the exclusive Genucel most popular package at checkout. That's love, G-E-N-U-C-E-L.com/Stephanie. lovegenucel.com/Stephanie.
The Bob Seska Show.
Brand new Megan McDuffie, man. This album is on fire. The song is called "You're Not Alone," and the album is called "Inner Demons." MeganMcDuffie.bandcamp.com. Link in the description at BobSeska.com. Right under this episode of the show. And by the way, you can support her vinyl campaign, but I think she's already got full support. I think she just surpassed like 106% on her vinyl campaign. Push here to try to get her album here, Inner Demons, released on vinyl. Exciting. MeganMcDuffie.bandcamp.com/campaign/inner-demons for the to check in on the vinyl campaign. Yeah,
I can't believe the luck. You know, Republicans were making fun of Joe Biden for using the phrase "record player" early in the campaign. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. This?
And yep. Now, if you look everywhere, everywhere there are young hip people. Mm-hmm. They have record players, and what's popular are these little sort of box portable record players that you set up in your room or whatever. But yeah. It's like the old record players we had as kids almost.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing. They've not only is vinyl back, but to see record players again. So Joe Biden was actually ahead of his time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And in fact, it's so funny you brought that up, Buzz. And I swear to fucking God, we didn't plan this out. I didn't say to Buzz, hey, make sure to emphasize record albums. Tomorrow on my interview show, I'm going to be talking to documentary director Kevin Smokler, who directed a movie called Vinyl Nation. And we're going to be talking about record albums tomorrow. We're going to be talking about vinyl recordings and how they're certainly they've been making a comeback for years now. But we're starting to hit kind of the peak of that particular wave, as you're saying. So I'm excited to talk about modern issuing of vinyl recordings in the modern digital era. We're getting back to the basics here.
See, and now you've turned my thought into a plug and I feel cheap and sullied. Now that's very cool. It is a big deal. It tickles me to see record players again.
It's one of those things where I'm so torn because I do love the convenience of digital recordings, but at the same time, there's nothing like those big 12x12 inch album covers, and you slip out the whole process of buying a record. Yeah,
and the warmer sound. It is a warmer sound from vinyl than it is. You know, if you don't mind, there are little imperfections that we will find out about again over time.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool to have that medium sort of come back again. Yeah. Here's how old I am. I have a turntable.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Now if you have it used to be, if you had a record player, well, that was old-fashioned. You have a turntable instead.
Yes.
Now record players are in. Turntables are like, what are you, like from the 70s?
Well, you know, hey, our friend Rocky Mountain Mike has a reel-to-reel deck in his living room. Yeah. So he wins.
I have reel-to-reel
back front. Yeah.
I have reel-to-reel tapes, but nothing to play them on. So perhaps we should get together.
Yeah, there you go. I'm still looking for some old cart decks. And you know what? If I had some old cart decks, I would figure out a way to incorporate them into the show. I would find some way to rig them into my system.
I miss the cartridges. I think I saved two.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. One is, I think, one is the Lowe's Theater jingle. because I cherish that. And the other was my old news theme, What's the Buzz, from the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, that's right. God, I forgot about that. Well, actually, you know what? I did recall it a couple of years ago. We were trying to figure out a theme for you on the show, on this show. Mm-hmm. And I said, Well, what about that old Geronimo thing from Jesus Christ Superstar? You're like, no, we won't be doing that.
Yeah. No, well, you know, that was from another time and another place. Yeah. And I don't know. It just didn't seem currently relevant. Mm. But fun story. I hope it's fun for the audience. I think it will be for you.
Yeah.
I was on the Don and Mike Show, and it was in the early days of that. And Don, he wanted some kind of opening music, so he used the theme to NBC Nightly News.
Right.
Well, NBC Nightly News frowned upon that. And we got a cease and desist letter from their lawyers.
Wow.
And so we had to stop using it. And it was my idea, actually, to lift the What's the Buzz chorus from Jesus Christ Superstar and use that. And that became my intro for many years after that.
Yeah. But
yeah, I brought that. I brought that to the show.
You knew, you know, once that song started playing that it was Buzz's time and you were going to get interrupted every 3 seconds. It was Buzz's time to be interrupted constantly. Yeah.
It was worth it, though.
Right, right. Well, let's see what else is going on here. Yeah, you know, last night I got a little irritated watching the Arizona Secretary of State on MSNBC, who referred to the ballot audit there as a distraction, but a dangerous distraction. And I was like, what the hell is a dangerous distraction? A dangerous distraction is not a distraction. It's like saying, I tweeted about this yesterday. It's like saying, yes, I'm mowing my lawn, but I'm distracted by a maniac in the next yard feeding a corpse into a wood chipper. Either a thing is dangerous and deserves attention or it doesn't. And from my perspective, I feel like there is no safe Trump-related story. It's all various levels of dangerous. It may be a least dangerous thing that we're talking about.
I don't know. I think it's extremely dangerous. And no, it isn't a distraction at all. It's just plain dangerous.
Right.
This is illegal.
Yeah.
The sanctity of the voting system has been violated here.
Mm-hmm.
The voters have been raped in this case.
Yeah.
Democracy has been raped in this case.
Yeah.
And this was authorized, again, by elected Republican state officials in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to vote in those elections.
Yeah. And by the way, they're continuously telling us the real story behind what they're doing. I remember covering this years ago. I mean, with voter ID, there was occasion after occasion leading up to the 2012 presidential election with Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, where the Republicans were just blurting the fact that voter ID was all about getting Mitt Romney elected. And so Ken Paxton, who's the attorney general of Texas, said a couple of days ago that if he hadn't been successful with lawsuits to block mail-in ballots, Trump definitely would have lost the election in Texas. So the whole point of blocking mail-in ballots, Louis DeJoy, go fuck yourself, was all about helping Donald Trump. Make no mistake. I mean, Louis DeJoy appears, you know, with months to go before a major national election and starts disrupting the flow of mail. At the very same time, Donald Trump is going, oh, those mail-in ballots are fraudulent. It's a huge fraud. It's a scam. The ballot dumps. And so all those things coincide. They weren't coincidence, obviously.
Oh, it's the way I covered it at the time, was that DeJoy was messing up the mail at the same time that Trump was saying mail doesn't work. DeJoy was there to make sure that Trump's false claim had at least some truth to it.
Yeah.
As I said before, DeJoy got that job and is in that job for two reasons. One, to disrupt to the extent that he could the 2020 election.
Mm-hmm.
He did succeed to an extent. Wasn't full success, obviously, but he did mess up the mail. The other purpose, of course, is to pursue the Republican conservative goal of privatizing the Postal Service by running it into the ground.
And I think Louis DeJoy is headed to the Dinesh D'Souza Memorial Solitary Confinement Cell at the Country Club prison.
Sooner the better.
Yeah. Because this is all the same thing that Dinesh D'Souza engaged in, where Dinesh D'Souza was paying relatives, friends, family members to make donations to the Republican Party in various committees. I forget exactly where the money was going. But the point was that Dinesh D'Souza would reimburse those people. And that's what's called straw donations. It's highly illegal. You're only allowed to donate a certain amount of money to a particular group or candidate. And once you've reached that threshold, no more. You can't tell your...
It's a way.
Yeah.
It's a way for wealthy individuals and businesses to get around those limits by getting other people to donate part of the money for them and then reimbursing them for that expense. And that's a way of cheating.
Yeah. And Louis DeJoy was getting his employees to do that for him, allegedly.
And giving them bonuses for doing so, allegedly.
And so now we kind of get a sense of why Louis DeJoy might have wanted to interfere with the 2020 election, because he knew that if Donald Trump were reelected, Louis DeJoy could either get a pardon or he could wiggle out of these investigations. I mean, this is a Department of Justice investigation, so he could wiggle out that way. But this has been a thing since before the election. I mean, back in August, Congressman Jim Cooper, a Democrat from Tennessee, asked if he repaid executives for making donations to the Trump campaign, and DeJoy responded. His response is very revealing. He's like, "Dost thou protest too much?"
Yes.
He said, "That's an outrageous claim, sir, and I resent it. The answer is no." Oh, okay. So that means the answer is yes. Of course it's yes.
Yeah, that much outrage, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
I read a disturbing article in the Washington Post this past week. The headline is, FBI inquiry of USPS Chief DeJoy threatens bipartisan overhaul bill. Subhead is, experts say the campaign fundraising investigation could fray a fragile bipartisan and cross-industry coalition key to financial relief legislation for the Postal Service. So, I've read this article, and I wish I could explain it to you, but I still don't entirely understand. Mm-hmm. But apparently, this FBI investigation of DeJoy could derail some attempts, a bipartisan attempt, to sort of refund the Postal Service.
Yeah, yeah. What's the deal now with the Board of Governors and Louis DeJoy's status as Postmaster General?
They have no comment. I'm not clear. Are Biden's people seated yet? I don't think they are. And that's part of the problem. Yeah. Right now, the board has no comment. I think all the board has said is that it's eager to have a conversation with Louis DeJoy about, A, the charges against him, and, B, his 10-year plan for the Postal Service. some of which, I mean, there are things in there that are good, frankly, like electric vehicles and that sort of thing. But there's a lot of bad in there, like closing post offices and cutting hours. And so I think Americans want to save their Postal Service. I know postal workers have started having demonstrations around the country. And I don't know if I still have it handy. There is, and you'll be able to find this, Indivisible, I believe, has a link for this to the public comment period continues through June 22nd for Americans to weigh in on DeJoy's plans to raise rates, cut postal service, close post offices, and that sort of thing. And if you submit a respectful objection to that, it will be registered, and those get counted. And those do count. So go to indivisible.org, I believe it is, and look for their instructions on how to public comment on what DeJoy's plans are. Try to stop DeJoy's plans. Your postal workers, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? With Louis DeJoy, I think his crimes are even more obvious than Donald Trump's crimes. And Donald Trump's crimes, make no mistake, are super duper obvious. You know exactly what he's trying
to do. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to pick a favorite gangster, Bob. I don't know.
I know. Jesus. But, I mean, look, it's so clear what Louis DeJoy is trying to get away with. I mean, all you got to do is... I mean, it's just the past year. It's just the past year of events. Everything, every news story that comes out about Louis DeJoy, it's like, oh, well, yeah, of course. Of course, that's what he's trying to do. And it makes perfect sense that this is his motive here. And it's enraging. It's infuriating. I can't imagine the number of people who miss their prescriptions, who miss their paychecks, who miss important pieces of correspondence throughout the process of fucking around. And how many mail-in ballots? I mean, do we ever get a sense of how many mail-in ballots didn't make the cutoff point because the Postal Service was playing grab ass because Louis DeJoy wants to kill it.
And then, as happened in Texas, they get thrown out.
Yeah, exactly right.
By a Secretary of State. This is what I'm talking about. This is what we have to overcome. Mm-hmm. This is why we have to jump so much higher over a much higher hurdle.
Exactly right. Well, there is so much going on in the world that can make it difficult for us to relax and decompress, right? You've experienced the Sunday scaries. It's that feeling on Sunday afternoon where you're thinking, oh God, I have to go back to work tomorrow. It's a whole week ahead. The weekend's almost over. It sucks. But now there are CBD gummies called Sunday Scaries. So if you're looking for a way to decompress, Sunday Scaries can help. Visit SundayScaries.com, use the promo code SEXYLIBERAL, all one word, to get 25% off your order. That's 25% off at SundayScaries.com with the promo code SEXYLIBERAL, all one word. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. These products are not for use or sale by persons under the age of 18. SundayScaries.com. Thank you.
Bob Seska.
Yeah, it's a great radio song. This is a brand new recording artist to the show here. It's called Feed Your Wolves. It's the name of the project, and the song is called Hurricane. Yeah. I've been playing that on 11 all weekend. Yeah.
That's a good song. It's a good song to play down here in Florida, I think.
Absolutely.
Hurricane.
Exactly right. It's kind of trolling Florida in a way. This is Andy Davidson from Northeast England submitting this song, feedyourwolves.com, to support this project that I love so much. You know, like, as I said, if I were in radio right now, this would be like the once an hour song. Like, oh yeah, and I got to talk it up. I got to hit the post on this one too. It's got that pulse pounding vibe that everyone wants to turn up their car stereos, roll down the windows, take their pants off, and speed down the highway. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see what else is going on in the world today. CNN obtained some secret audio recordings of Rudy Giuliani offering Ukraine a quid pro quo. I mean, how much more evidence do you need? But they're just going to say, oh, it's a witch hunt. It's fake news. It's not really. But there are audio recordings now.
It's despicable.
The audio is of a July 2019 phone call between Giuliani, U.S. diplomat Kurt Volker, Andriy Yermak, and the call was a precursor to Trump's infamous call with Zelensky, and both conversations later became a central part of Trump's first impeachment, where he was accused of soliciting Ukrainian help for his campaign. During the roughly 40-minute call, Giuliani reportedly told Yermak that Zelensky should publicly announce investigations into possible corruption by Biden in Ukraine and into claims that Ukraine meddled in the 2016 election to hurt Trump. These separate claims are both untrue, of course. Quote, all we need from President Zelensky is to say, I'm going to put an honest prosecutor in charge. He's going to investigate and dig up the evidence. So what we see here, Buzz, is kind of what we were discussing at the time, which is that all they needed was the announcement of an investigation. They didn't actually need a full-fledged investigation into what was going on with that energy company, Burisma, and Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and all of that. They didn't need that. They just needed the patina of it.
It was absolutely extortion, however, at the same time, because Giuliani can also be heard saying on there, if you do this, if we get this statement from Zelensky, then we get rid of our problems.
Yeah.
Now, the problems to which he refers, the U.S. holdup of weapons for the Ukrainians to fight off Russian incursion. So this is a very serious thing. I guess what occurs to me as I'm listening to this is, okay, here's another tape. I mean, we have a tape of Trump. We have transcripts. We have all kinds of evidence.
Yeah.
Unless it can be used effectively in court or in Congress, it doesn't. It's certainly not going to make any difference on the public opinion scale.
Yeah.
Either way. So I hope this is a valuable piece of evidence for investigators, prosecutors, and judges and juries.
Yeah, I hope so. And as with all of these stories, My hope is always that, well, if it comes to nothing in the long run, at least it scares the shit out of Donald Trump. You know what I mean? It's just at least
so,
it's creating stress for Donald Trump. And what, however amount of stress it is, whatever gets him, you know, to start freaking out about these sorts of things. You know, the German kid on his computer, that kind of freak out. Whenever these news items come down, this is Trump reacting. This makes me so happy. And I love that. I love the fact that that kid is German. It's so perfect for Trump.
He made, yeah, that's true. He's made us suffer, certainly. So it's understandable why we would delight in the idea of him suffering.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything that brings him down is fine with me. Even if it's talking about his pants being on backwards. That's fine. That's fine. And yeah, there may have been a diaper in there. I don't think I reacted to the diaper observation. But yeah, I think we've heard lots of reports of diapers.
Even if it's the backside, if you look at it, it looks padded to the point of being a diaper. Yeah.
And they're such weird pants. I'll never get over. Like, what the fuck is he thinking about those suits? I don't know. Okay. Well, also, as discussed on Friday's After Party, we got some, at least according to me, and some people have been reacting favorably to this, and I don't understand why, but to me, it's horrible news from Facebook that Donald Trump could be reinstated 2 years from now, just in time to throw his hat into the ring for 2024. It seems, well, of course, we know why Facebook is doing this shit, because they benefit from Trump existing. What, the top 10 most shared posts on pages on Facebook are all Trump ass kissers, Dan Bongino, right. Ben Shapiro, all these guys. So they do quite well. Facebook is incorporating this Trump thing into its business model. Make no mistake. They're going to get lots of attention because with Trump being back on Facebook in 2023, you know, it's going to be more traffic for Facebook, more ad views.
I don't dispute the commercial advantage for Facebook here, but I have to smile a little bit about the level of unhappiness you've shown about something Facebook might do 2 years from now. I think what they've done is they've agreed to review it again in 2 years, and if they still see him as a threat, to extend it beyond that. So it doesn't end in 2 years necessarily. It could. But we will at least be past the 2022 election. I'm going to take them at their word. I'm going to hold them to their word that if it looks like he hasn't shut up by then, and he probably won't have, that they'll continue to keep him off the platform.
Yeah.
So I don't. You know, I'm more worried about 2022, the election, more than I am Trump getting back. I mean, I obviously don't want him back on social media, but. It's not a problem we have yet.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing. I feel like with what Trump has done to the country and to the world, the ban should have been like ripping the Band-Aid off. It should have been swift, permanent, immediate, lifetime. And permanent. Right.
Yeah, that's what Twitter did.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. Exactly what Twitter did. Fuck you. You're never going to come back, you motherfucker. And that's what Facebook should have done. And what they're doing now is, well, you know, there is some gray area where this kind of horse shit that Trump engaged in for 4 years is, you know, kind of acceptable. I mean, we're still thinking about it. I don't know. It's just like this wishy-washy reaction from the advisory board, from Facebook itself, about how to handle Donald Trump. I mean, it should be abundantly clear. For God's sake, Russia paid Facebook in rubles to help Donald Trump win in 2016. Facebook should be running for their lives right now from everyone who realizes everything that Trump did wrong. And that goes from the insurrection to the whole previous year, where I put a lot of the blame for the global nature of the COVID pandemic at Trump's feet, at that doorstep, because it was Trump's irresponsibility. With America being a global leader, it was Trump's irresponsibility, his focus on the election. I don't need to relitigate all this shit. But then you go back even further. You go back to what we were just talking about, Ukraine and that impeachable offense. And so you have all of these 4 years of crime after crime after crime, injustice after injustice. And there's no reason why Donald Trump participating in the political discussion. There's no way that enhances anything. All it does is
it endangers.
Yeah. It endangers not only the political debate in this country, it endangers democracy. It endangers Facebook. If Donald Trump has his way and Congress becomes Republican in 2023 after the 2022 midterms and Donald Trump becomes president in 2024, if everything Donald Trump wants right now comes true, Facebook is going to have Section 230 stripped out from underneath of it. And that's going to put Facebook in a shitty position to be sued by fucking everybody over shit that happens on their website. I don't know why they're playing with that fire. I mean, it seems to me as if it's self-preservation, isn't it?
Especially as other nations crack down on Facebook and other social media platforms, which delights me, at least a lot of what I'm seeing in terms of holding them legally responsible.
Yeah.
I feel good about where this is headed, albeit, as always, slow. Mm. But at least I think there's some progress being made against these powerful social media platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I can't argue with the fact that Facebook profits from Trump land, but I'm glad he's off of there. I'm glad he will be off for the next two years, and I'm glad it's not a lock that he'll be back in 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good point. I think it's true that it's still a question mark as to whether he comes back in 2 years. But
I know you don't like the existence of the question mark, and I don't disagree. I think we both would love to have seen a lifetime ban instead. I'll take whatever somebody once in reaction to this said, well, and I believe I said this before, Facebook has effectively punted a decision here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, except for effectively, he's still off of the platform. Mm. So, I mean, you want to look at what's effectively true. It is effectively true. He might come back. It's also effectively true. He ain't there now.
Yeah.
And I'll take that.
Yep, cup half full, that's for sure.
That's me. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know, and part of my problem is I have less than zero faith that Facebook will make the right decision on anything, much less this.
Well, it's like any other industry. I don't trust oil companies drilling in the Gulf of Mexico or in the Arctic either, you know, and with good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they're left to regulate themselves, we've seen time after time what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Tragedy and disaster happen without regulation.
On a similar note, I got hit with not one but two phishing scams in my email. And this is all not, obviously I'm not blaming Facebook for this, but it's Facebook related. I got two emails purporting to be from Facebook saying that we're opening a new podcasting tab for Facebook pages where you can have your podcast automatically pop up in your Facebook feed based on whatever the RSS feed you insert into the tab or whatever. Basically, a way for podcasters to promote their shows on Facebook, which would be welcome by me because every fucking thing anyone posts on Facebook about their podcast, it gets buried by the algorithm. It just does, whether it's Patreon or Apple Podcasts or whatever. They just don't like it when you promote outside websites on their website. Mm-hmm. And so it's a challenge. So this would have been encouraging to me. And so initially I'm going, oh, this is a cool idea. And then I scroll down even more and it's like, click here to set yourself up with the Facebook podcast tab. And I said, that doesn't seem right. That seems like... That smells like a phishing scam to me. And
it's a dangerous world out there, Bob.
Yeah, and it was right on the heels of both Stephanie Miller and John Fugelsang having their pages hacked. And Fugelsang in particular got decimated by these hackers who, at last report, were still occupying his Facebook page. They deleted 4,000 posts. They were deleting photographs. They were just going through and just decimating the whole place.
I think in the case of Stephanie Miller and John Fugelsang, that this sounds like a political hit to me.
Yeah, yeah.
More than... You know, more than anything else, more than just I have enjoyed some of the delightful posts that have appeared on the Stephanie Miller Facebook page.
Yeah.
You know, but it's all clickbait stuff.
Mm. Something to be aware of here as we as things get more and more heated and as politics in the United States becomes a blood sport.
They're still out there.
Yeah.
They're still out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I believe this show will be successfully posted just as soon as Joe Manchin signs off on it.
All right. Well, there's lots more to talk about here. And, of course, we're going to do all of that on our post-mortem show that comes up next and exclusively on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. You know what? I'm sorry to say, we didn't quite hit our second set of 20 new subscribers. We did this thing earlier in April where I said, well, with every 20 new subscribers, I'm going to do a video. Well, we got to the end of May, got to the 1st of June, uh-huh. and we didn't quite hit that second set. We didn't get to 40 new subscribers total for April and May. So, but I think I'll still do a video. I'll do a video anyway, just in case. And that'll be on our Patreon page, of course, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. But if you want to sign up for the post-mortem show, if you want to keep listening to this year's program today, make sure to go to our Patreon page and sign up at $5 a month. You sign up at $5 a month, you get 2 post-mortem shows every week after the Tuesday show and after the Thursday show. And it's just bonus material, bonus conversation. In fact, all the real fun happens on the post-mortem show and the after party.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
FOMO, as I say, FOMO is real. And I'm taking advantage of it here. Again, that's patreon.com/Bob Seska Show to sign up. Let's see, we're going to talk about Lara Trump for a second there. Okay. And I'm feeling good about something that I didn't initially feel good about, where I really? Felt like I was way out on a limb, and now I feel like I'm less out on a limb. The limb is getting thicker, so to speak. So
I think people should get a Patreon subscription so they can find out what it is in the postmortem show.
Yeah. And oh, shit. This is a hobby horse of mine. You're going to have to indulge me. I want to talk about something they're discussing in New York City with regard to bike riders in New York City. So I want to talk about that a little bit. I swear to God, I'm not going to belabor it. I'll try not to rant, but we're going to, as I said, we'll do that on the post-mortem show. Meantime, if you want to follow Buzz Burbank, you can follow him on Twitter at Michael J. Elston, traditional spelling of all of those names. And just search for Buzz Burbank on Facebook, and you'll find him there, too. Okay. Did I miss anything? Do I have everything? I think that's it.
I don't think so, but, you know, I'm the wrong guy to ask.
Okay, my friend. See you on the postmortem. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.